Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
Because of my early training, and I suppose the generation into which I was born, I'm still a print guy. My photographic roots are all with the print. And as I've said before, in my day, if there was no print, there was no photograph. That's all there was. It was maybe slides, you could count them. But this was prior to the internet, and so prints were everything that we thought about, everything we did, everything we shared, everything we showed. And the only exception to that would be if you had a book published. But hardly anyone did. Only the famous photographers and the wealthy photographers could afford to have a book. So to this day, I still think of prints as the most desirable format for my work. That said, and this is the crux of today's podcast, every time I look at my Light Impressions archival boxes filled with finished prints sitting on the shelf over in the closet gathering dust, I come face to face with the reality of the advantages of the digital world in which we live. Probably one of the silliest things I did in my earlier days in photography, and up until not that long ago, actually, is I followed Fred Picker's advice, which turned out to be terrible advice, when he said that when you figure out how to make a print, and you've got it all down pat, dodging and burning and chemistry and paper and grades and all the rest of that kind of stuff, as long as you've got it down once, you might as well make 5 or 10 prints so that you have them when you need them later on. And I did that. And I gathered boxes and boxes and boxes of prints, which ended up mostly in the permanent collection of the Skagit Valley landfill when I downsized after Maureen passed away. I just didn't want to store them. I didn't want to keep them. All of that work, which I sweat bullets over for years, was actually kind of depressing for the simple reason that Fred Picker's advice to make multiple copies and hang on to them just in case you needed them assumed that people would be interested in our artwork at some point down the road. When we became famous and suddenly having a backlog of inventory would be advantageous. And that's probably valid advice for 2 or 3 or 4 or maybe a dozen contemporary photographers. But for the vast majority of us who are hobbyists, and I consider myself that is to say, I don't make a living with my photographic prints. For those of us who do printing for fun, it doesn't make a lot of sense to build an inventory and invest not only time and money, but storage space and our future against some odds of collectability that are almost never going to pan out. The truth is, I engage art making selfishly for the process that I go through that brings me in contact with the world, with myself, with other photographers and people. It's a way to connect. And that approach to art making is sort of selfish. On the other hand, I produce art, finished things, to share it, so that it can live, so that people can enjoy it, not so it can be stored. I finally got in touch with my feelings about all of this in the late 80s and early 90s. I did a project called Made of Steel. Some of you have seen the book, some of you have seen the PDF. And I was invited to have an exhibition of that work. So I bought like 120 frames and printed 120 gel and silver prints and matted and framed them and put them on display. And I don't think at that exhibition, this was in the late 80s, I don't think I sold any prints. But I had fun and it was an enjoyable event. I got to meet a lot of nice people. We had a fun opening night party. But 30 days later, maybe it was 60, I took down all the work, put it in padded envelopes and giant boxes, and stored it away. My thinking at the time would be that if I was ever invited to show that work again, I'd have the work already framed, already matted, ready to go. At a moment's notice, I could provide a gallery or some other location an instantly hangable show of 120 prints. Well, then a couple of years went by, and I sold a print here, and I sold a print there. And maybe I sold as many as 20 of the 120 prints. And, of course, the 20 that got sold were the best ones. And so now I had 100 prints without the A-list, unless I went back and reprinted them, which I was not particularly motivated to do. Things were slowly starting to shift to a digital workflow, and I didn't want to go back and reprint all the gelatin silver prints. So there the 100 prints sat in storage, still sit in storage. And after that initial show, I had one other exhibition shortly after that, and now they've sat in the closet, tucked away in archival storage for over 30 years. Now, curiously enough, I was invited to exhibit that work again at a university in Jacksonville, Florida. I can't remember which one. But they had a gallery space that was huge. And I got a call from the photography instructor there who had some contact with the gallery owners and asked if I had ever had a place to exhibit the entire body of work, which I hadn't. Because after that first installation of 120 prints, I'd continued to work on it, and I had some more that had never been seen. And the people from Jacksonville asked if I would like to exhibit that work. And I said yes, but it occurred to me that the gelatin silver prints that I had and still have in storage did not have any of the images I had produced after that, the newer images that I had only in digital form. So I decided to redo the entire exhibition, which ended up after I added some images and took away some of the weaker images that I had changed my mind about. It ended up being 103 images in the final exhibition, which I decided to reprint from scratch. I went back to the original negative scans and added to that the new digital files and reprocessed everything and reprinted all of them, the entire show, as digital prints, inkjet prints. Came up with a unique new way to frame them, sent the whole thing off to Jacksonville. They invited me to come do a talk, which I was happy to do. Met a lot of nice people, had a lot of fun. And that night, at the end of the opening, the gallery administrator came up to me and asked how I wanted them to return the entire exhibition to me. And I had in the back of my mind the 100-some-odd framed gelatin silver prints that were still in storage and getting dustier by the decade. So I made an instantaneous decision, and I said, you know, would you like to have all of these prints? Could you use them in your, either in your museum or in your photography school where you could use them as samples and show people? Because I don't really have any need to have any of them back. I can always reprint them if I need them. I have the finished digital files. And the only thing I would like to have back are the pieces of sheet metal and the magnets that we used as pseudo frames. But you can keep all the prints, which they did. And I hope in the subsequent years that they've found them of use and value in with their students or some other way at least. I don't know how they've actually used them or if they've used them, but I do know this, that if they had come back with me at the end of the show or if they'd shipped them back to me at the end of the show, they'd probably be gathering dust in my closet. I'm much, much happier that I was able to make a donation that might be useful for them than I would ever have been keeping and hanging on to those prints here so that they added to the burden my children will have when I'm processed through the final ink maintenance tank. Essentially, what I learned from that experience was it's one thing to produce the work, but it's another thing to care for it. And even if you sell a piece of work or give a piece of work or trade for a piece of work, there's a responsibility that goes with it to care for it, to keep it, to preserve it, to exhibit it, to at least keep it safe in storage. But who wants to do that? That eventually led me to considering alternatives of presentation, including PDFs, and I do more work now with my PDF journal called Kokoro than I ever did with finished printed exhibitions. And I get feedback from all over the world. I can't tell you what a thrill it is when I post a new PDF, send out an email, and literally the next morning I wake up to emails from Jakarta saying how much they're enjoying the work. I remember the early days when I lived in Portland and was producing only archival prints. I couldn't think how to get an exhibition across the river in Vancouver, Washington, let alone in Portland where I lived, let alone in Eugene or San Francisco or Biloxi or Jakarta. But now, when I produce a PDF, people from all over the world have a chance to see it. So the combination of those experiences have led me to, at least for me, a very comfortable, if not unique, philosophy about producing work. I print only to fulfill orders. If someone wants to buy something, I'm happy to produce it for them. If I want to give something away or share something, I'm happy to produce it. I still make lots and lots of prints. But I don't make them for inventory. I don't store them. I don't build a stack of prints that someday, somehow, somewhere, I might do something with. When I make a print, it's because I have a purpose for it immediately. And within hours or days, or maybe a month, sometimes I get behind, that print is out the door and on its way to wherever its ultimate destination might be. And there's another aspect of that that's fascinating to me, is that by printing to order, every print has a purpose. Every print has a destination. And that's usually not a place, it's a person, which allows me to personalize the colophon on all of my prints and chapbooks with the person who's going to be receiving it. That establishes a relationship between me and the receiver that's different than some unknown buyer out there in the world who may acquire one of my prints from some unknown gallery or some third-party seller, or even some unknown person who downloads one of my PDFs. Prints are still a very important part of my life because of that direct connection that is more rewarding to me than just a click on a PDF. But the feedback from the PDF is more important to me than all the prints that are sitting in my closet gathering dust. There's a lot of different ways to think about this. My way may not fit with your thinking at all, because I know a lot of photographers, and maybe you, want to sell work in order to subsidize your photographic endeavors. That's fine if that's what you want to do. And I can do nothing but wish you the best of luck, and hopefully you'll have the kind of success that some photographers have by selling lots of work. Great. But that's not my objective. I don't think of my work as some sort of financial exchange that hopefully leads to profit and fame. And forgive me if I repeat, I engage art making selfishly for the process and produce art to share it so that it can live, not so that it can be stored. Maybe I'm thinking more about this these days as I get older, because I'm recognizing that inevitable march of time when all of the things that I've produced are going to be still in the closet, waiting for someone to do something with them. And rather than leaving all of that work to the hands of fate or the intervention of some Bernice Abbott kind of a rescuer of my artwork, what I'd rather do is send it all out in the world and only produce it if I'm going to send it all out into the world. You know that old joke about it's a perfect life if you die by handing your last dollar to someone at the same time you take your last breath. I don't know if artwork is in the same category, but it kind of feels like it should be. I guess I hope that when my time is done, I have no artwork in my possession whatsoever, because it's all out there in the world somewhere, in the hands of people who are enjoying it, who are treasuring it, who find it meaningful, either as a physical object in their life or as a part of the relationship between me and the person who has my artwork. That's my philosophy that's evolved over 50 years of being involved in producing physical things, prints, chapbooks, commercially printed books, etc. I just know from all the photographers I've talked to how that has a tendency to be a growing pile of future obligation that can place a burden not only on the producer as they have to store it and care for it and keep it up, as well as perhaps their heirs who will have to find a way to dispose of it somehow. Producing artwork is fun. I can't imagine a life without it. But the other side of that coin is the burden and responsibility of collecting stuff and trying to figure out what to do with it. And it just seems to me to be a shame any time a physical print is gathering dust and not out there in the world bringing joy to someone's heart.
Copyright 2025, Lenswork Publishing.